Hi, it's Dacker. If you're like me, you probably have a wide variety of interests when it comes to your podcast listening. A little psychology here, a little history there, which is why I want to recommend a show perfect for those with eclectic tastes. Freakonomics Radio has more than 10 years and 500 episodes worth of answers to your biggest questions. But don't be fooled, it's not just for economists and business experts. Every week, Stephen Dubner dives into the hidden side of everything. With the help of guests, including CEOs, artists, and Nobel laureates, he breaks down all sorts of things, like how we choose the people we marry and why using swear words might be more important than you think. So don't miss out. Follow Freakonomics Radio right now, wherever you get your podcasts. Support for The Science of Happiness comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting time and money with your current business software or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/happiness. That's odoo.com/happiness. Odoo, modern management made simple. We started the Greater Good Science Center here at UC Berkeley almost 20 years ago to provide resources that foster health, resilience, and connection. We now offer live and virtual events, free online articles, and of course, the podcast. And so much of what we do is made possible by donations from listeners like you. If you'd like to support our work, please visit greatergood.berkeley.edu/donate and give what you can. That's greatergood.berkeley.edu/donate. Every donation helps. Thank you, and I hope you enjoy this week's show.
Jaden!
Hey, Mr. Green.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
So we're going to ask these questions that will help potentially start thinking about purpose. First question I have is, what's most important to you in your life?
For me, I would say it's the people that I surround myself with, people that inspire me and they will always support me. People that make me feel well and make me feel loved and good.
How do you define purpose? Like, what is purpose to you?
Purpose. Wow. When you find that thing that makes you be like, yeah, this is where I'm needed to be. That was a gaping hole and it's full now. I feel like that is where your purpose is. I guess that's how you can define purpose. Yeah. Go to that.
Are you in your purpose?
Right now, yes. Yeah, I definitely feel it. I mean, I'm not the biggest fan of quarantine because I don't get to be around all the people that do inspire me. But I do feel like getting on the phone with people and always giving it my all, that is a purpose for me. To be respectful, inclusive, safe, and kind. Yeah, that's my purpose.
You know, in our household, in the African tradition of Sankofa, literally translates to mean to go back and fetch it. Like, hey, what does it look like to help someone in need? What does it look like when challenge arises? Do you falter or do you support? And even though now the language we use, the buzzword we use is purpose, that wasn't really the language in my household. It really was around responsibility to give back.
Adrian Michael Green is an author, diversity trainer, and the director of school success for Project Wayfinder, an organization helping adolescents strengthen their identity and sense of meaning in their lives. For our show, Adrian Michael spoke with one of his former students and tried a science-based practice designed to help young people explore and gain focus on their purpose. Adrian Michael, thanks for joining us on The Science of Happiness.
I am deeply excited to be here, especially during this time of challenge and difficulty. So I'm grateful for this time that we have together.
Thank you. You work on, and you really have devoted your career to, I think, one of the hardest problems in society, which is focusing adolescents on their own personal purpose. I'm really curious, like, how did you get to that focus in your own life? How'd that develop?
I think it's just been inherent to say, okay, let's sit down and figure out how can we navigate difficulty? And not just difficulty, but in the midst of this world we live in, your responsibility is to do good in school. That was like just beaten in our brow of, hey, your job as a young person is to go to school and get an education. And that's been the mantra in the Black community always of, hey, you know, education as a practice, as a form of freedom. Education has always been that vehicle, always, no matter who you come from, your beliefs, your ideologies. But I think the surrounding atmosphere, there isn't that space. And I think that's the challenge we are, not just today, but historically. How can we provide questions? We call them big questions. And the sad thing is, they're not big. They should be, you know, the ones that you're asking and riddling off to all people every single day. Because even the students at Berkeley, when we use the work of Wayfinder with them, they're like, wow.
No one's ever asked me this.
Yeah, no one has ever asked me these questions.
What kind of question?
Questions like, what are parts of your identity? You know, what is your story? What can you learn about yourself from others? Questions like, what matters to you and why do you care?
And those kinds of questions are part of the practice you chose to do for our show. It's called Talking with Teens About Purpose, which is pretty much your job. Can you walk us through it?
The practice is, you know, a 5 to 45 minute conversation with a young person about purpose. And there's 6 questions that will, you know, lean into their life. And, you know, what's interesting is I chose to write out the questions and sent them to a student, and the student responded, and then we jumped on a call. And when I tell you that was the, like, the most powerful experience that I've had lately, I'm not just saying that, it was real.
Wow.
So that simple questionnaire really jump-started something special.
So who did you do the practice with?
Jaden Moore, who was a sophomore at Colorado Academy in Denver, Colorado, where I used to be a teacher.
Great.
And I hadn't talked to Jaden in 2 years. I taught her when she was in 7th grade. I think we talked for about an hour and a half, to be honest. I said, can we jump on a Zoom call? And then about a few days later, we engaged in this really beautiful conversation that just reminded me of the importance of face-to-face, even though through Zoom right now, face-to-face communication is so not just healing, but important for both parties.
If you were to look back at your life, how would you want to be remembered? Granted, say you live a long, long, long life. What do you want people to say about Jaden Moore?
I would like people to say that I gave my heart in everything that I did. I loved everything that I did. And I would also like to be remembered as the person that tried their best to be fair, but to also not pass judgment on other people.
I think the most special parts were how gentle she is with herself, and knowing that this is her sophomore year and she herself is trying to navigate what it looks like to be at home by yourself in terms of like your school experience and still be connected to your peers and still do your classwork and still be a great, thoughtful daughter. You know, all these things are happening in real time for her, and the way that she has been navigating it has been inspiring, to say the least.
What were some of the questions that really jumped out at you in terms of producing really good conversation?
I think one that stands out the most was the question that sparked around, what does it mean to have a good life and be a good person?
I think to be a good person, you have to be truthful to yourself, to always be willing to learn more, to experience more, to step into other people's shoes, and to be selfless. You have to stay true to yourself if you want to live life to the fullest.
Jaden, where does your drive to stay true to yourself come from?
I was bullied a lot in lower school, actually, and I would try and fake my way out of everything all the time. I remember it very clearly. And in middle school, I was like, you know what, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm not going to keep letting myself do what other people expect of me. That's not how I want to live.
As a 10th grader, like her wherewithal, her awareness, her ability to be true to herself no matter what, is, I think that's at the heart of our conversation, what blew my mind.
What's like one huge accomplishment that you would like to be known for as well? Like, Jaden Moore was the ..?
Giving it her all, I guess. Jaden Moore gave it her all in anything that she did. I've been doing a lot of rallies. I was actually going to, before all of quarantine and all of that, I was actually going to go to City Hall for gun violence prevention. I spent earlier this year in September, I went to Washington, D.C., and I talked to senators and representatives about gun violence prevention. I would actually like to be remembered for that, too. Yeah.
Love that. Jaden Moore gave her all. Wow. That's beautiful.
What are some of the deeper themes that overlap with the work that you do that you see in this kind of conversation with Jaden?
You know, it was a thoughtful nod to, no matter how you do it, there's many ways to get to purpose, to get to the deeper meaning of your why. It provides space and time for students to really take an honest inventory of who they are, you know, in terms of self-discovery, what is personally meaningful to, you know, what matters outside of yourself, beyond yourself. And then taking these tools that you gather along the way to say, all right, now that I know what I love to do, and now that I know what my strengths and skills are, and now that I know what I care about in the world, now that I know those three basic things, what can I do with it? Like, it's my job, my responsibility to do something with it. And I think the questions from Jaden of, hey, what's important to you? And her telling me, you know, being around positive people, people who support me, people who care, helping me achieve my goals. That, if I was her teacher right now in her school, and I know her why, and I know what's important to her, then not only do I remind her of that, but I can say, oh, she's doing this because X, Y, Z. I know her why.
I want to ask you, Adrian Michael, a lot of your work focuses on students of color, and in particular, African Americans. And when I look at the empirical research of teachers and principals disproportionately suspending African Americans and police brutality and under-resourced schools, in light of all this, what kind of conversations do you have with African Americans about purpose facing these sources of discrimination?
You know, one of the myths that we bust straight out is that purpose is not just for the privileged. Yeah. Purpose is for everyone. And but sometimes the lived experience and the reality is that there are a lot of things bumping up against not just the practice of purpose or living into your purpose, but what does it look like when you're trying to live, you're trying to breathe, you're trying to enact a life of just freedom and doing things that, you know, fill you with joy and happiness and meaning. Mm. But bumped up against that is the unending trauma, the unending reminders from police brutality or just issues around policing in neighborhoods, right? From people who aren't policemen, policewomen. Yeah. So I think the conversation that I have from young people around the world, from social media to in person, is, you know, what do you need right now to be okay? Mm. What is it that will allow you to remind yourself that this is not just temporary, but you aren't the problems that exist in the world. But guess what? There's time to be angry, and there's time to lean in with people who you call community. That's why affinity groups are so important on all campuses, schools, programs, organizations. If you don't have or believe in affinity groups, then you really don't know what wellness and well-being is about. Because in my experience, you know, I've grown up and have to and still have to navigate predominantly white spaces where I know I can viscerally feel if I'm safe or not, just based off of what I see and what I don't see. Yeah. And students across the world know that innately. Hey, if I'm here, am I safe? Can I be my full self? How do I code switch from this professor to this space to this situation so that I can come home safe? So I think the big thing that really carries us through is not just having the safe space, but the tools to be resilient. And we know through research and just experience that people of color are already being successful and they're the most resilient because of all the things that are thrown at us. And we're prepared for anything, but also it's unacceptable that we have to be prepared for all these things. But what helps me and why I love working with young people is their desire to be seen and loved. And the only way that I can inspire is to remind them that they are the inspiration. They've always been the inspiration. You don't have to have a really strong skill set to care. You just have to care. You know, I think the more that you can do that and say, all right, there's some challenge, but purpose does not come without challenge.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Adrian, Michael, we know when you study purpose in teens, you see this wonderful constellation of benefits. They cope better, they're more resilient, they're happier, they sleep better, they have less anxiety. But you have this great privilege of watching young people like Jaden grow and change. How would you put your finger on like what this inquiry into purpose really does for students?
I think the most important thing that it does, it gives them a pulse on themselves. It gives them language and tools and a practice. And these questions, these activities, these prompts, these opportunities, just give them the permission to really say, huh, what does bring me joy? Like truly, what does bring me joy? What do I love to do? What are my strengths? Where do I feel capable? I think what I see is the practice of it, the living desire to know that they have inner resources and tools and language to get through situations that are challenging, or they know, hey, if in fact I'm having a stressful moment or I'm having difficulty with a loved one or a person in my classroom or an educator, they know that they have the language, they have the ability to say, okay, hold on, I'm stressed. What's important to me is reading or music or time with friends. I'm going to go do that. I know if I'm struggling with this, I've talked about it, I'm going to do that, because when I don't do it, then I stay negative. And then when I'm negative, I negatively impact people. And like there's this ripple effect that happens. So what I find is that there's this ongoing conversation that they can always return back to their toolkit, because purpose is not just the check the box, I'm done. Purpose comes in all forms, all walks of life. You return to it over and over and over.
I know adolescents and teens feel, as I did when I was an adolescent and teen, that there are a lot of adults around them, teachers and parents and authority figures, who are kind of telling them what they do and they never ask them questions. And we're in a moment with COVID-19 where families are spending more time with each other, teachers have new relationships with their teens. And I want to close with just a question, Adrian, Michael, which is, what's the one question you'd have our listeners ask those teens at the dinner table or on Zoom to get this kind of inquiry going?
I think what comes to mind directly right now is, how is your heart? It's a beautiful check-in that really gets you out of your head, because we can try to rationalize, like, I'm good, and then be okay with it. But what does good really mean? You know, when students hit you with the, hey, I know you asked how my day was, I'm just going to say I'm good, because that's the practice of just the normalization of how we respond to people. How you doing? Good. And you can, you know, it's like a really quick pass. But I think when you ask, how is your heart? People like stop. Whoa, that's like, what do you mean? Huh? How? And it's like, how is my heart? How am I really doing? Because at the heart of purpose is people. And if you are unable to really hone in on how you're feeling and try to bypass yourself, then you can't even talk about purpose at all. It's like you really can't, because your well-being and your inability to even think about how you show up in the world is dismissive of yourself and actually has negative consequences to other people who share space with you, whether you know it or not.
Well, Adrian, Michael, thank you so much for your work you do, for your teaching, for your writing, and for being on The Science of Happiness today.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you and your work that you do.
Having a sense of purpose in life is linked to lots of different benefits, from better health to better grades.
And I think knowing this, it's important to step back and think about, well, what are the steps involved in discovering and pursuing a purpose in life?
More on the science of purpose up next. The core idea of purpose is having a meaningful long-term goal that you invest your time and energy in. And it's often inspired by a desire to make a difference in the world.
In my experience, having conducted hundreds and hundreds of interviews around purpose, is that most of our conversations with young people focus on short-term issues. You know, what class are you going to take next semester? What colleges are you going to apply to? And it's really rare that we step back and ask young people, what do you really want to accomplish in your life? What's important to you? And why do you care about this?
Kendall Cotton Bronk is an associate professor of psychology at Claremont Graduate University. She researches how purpose affects the development and moral growth of young people.
We find that young people, adolescents and young adults, often report feeling kind of a sense of drift. You know, there's so many options available today that it can feel almost overwhelming, like which way do I move forward? And so when you have a purpose in life, it provides a really pretty clear path forward.
Leading a life of purpose is associated with more academic success, job satisfaction, and better mental and physical health. Kendall figured that if she could better understand people who have managed to discover and follow their own purpose, she could help others reap those benefits. So her team identified 9 adolescents who seemed deeply committed to a purpose, issues ranging from access to clean water, to gun violence prevention, to supporting cancer research.
We sat down and we conducted interviews that lasted around 90 minutes each. We also interviewed a parent and somebody with whom they were working.
Then they did follow-up interviews over the course of 5 years. Kendall's team found that at the time of the initial interviews, the teens had started to get involved in activities that were relevant to their sense of purpose, but they began with some pretty modest steps.
So, for example, you know, the young person who ended up being really committed to supporting research around cancer, she got involved when she was actually a child, and she was just selling daffodils at a nationwide fundraiser called Daffodil Days.
They also found that mentors outside of the family played a big role in shaping their sense of purpose.
Adolescence is a time where even positive feedback from within the family is really not as effective as positive feedback from adults outside the family. I think anybody who has an adolescent at home knows that when you tell the adolescent, wow, you're really good at math, as the parent anyway, it kind of goes in one ear and out the other. But when a teacher or a coach or even a friend's parent, you know, some adult who the young person respects from outside the family gives that same feedback, it takes on a different meaning.
But Kendall says that parents can still play a big role by modeling purpose in their own lives, and by asking their children about the things that matter most to them, and then really listening to their responses without nudging them in a particular direction.
I also think there are roles that adults can play in helping to connect young people with opportunities to become actively engaged in the things that they think they might care about.
People are uplifted by having a sense of purpose in life, but finding their purpose can take some time and support and often involves a bit of meandering and change.
And so it is possible that if you engage in this conversation with the young person and you feel like, it didn't have the desired effect, we didn't get it all figured out, maybe they're just not there yet. And that's okay. You started the conversation, you got this sort of language and idea on the radar. And if you can continue to have this conversation, when they're ready for it, they'll have the idea, they'll have the language, and they'll be in this habit of thinking really about how it is they want to leave their mark in the broader world.
I'm Dacher Keltner. Thanks for joining me on The Science of Happiness. You can check out the Talking with Teens About Purpose exercise on our Greater Good in Action website at ggia.berkeley.edu. We've created resources exploring the psychology of racism and ways to confront it in yourself and talk about it with the young people in your life. Visit greatergood.berkeley.edu/antiracism to learn more. That's greatergood.berkeley.edu/antiracism. Our podcast is a co-production of UC Berkeley's Greater Good Science Center and PRX. Our senior producer is Shuka Kalantari. Production assistance is from Jenny Cataldo and Ben Manila of BMP Audio. Our associate producers are Brett Simpson and Ariella Markowitz. Our executive producer is Jane Park. Our editor-in-chief is Jason Marsh. Our science director is Emiliana Simon-Thomas. Tell us what you'd like to hear more of using the hashtag #HappinessPod or emailing greater@berkeley.edu.